And joining us, as he is in studio, Mr. Darren Munn. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
It's good to have you back with us and with Munn Wealth Management. So, Darren, you know, I mean, it seems like for all the brouhaha that's going on in politics and things like that, the economy just seems to be kind of humming along.
It is humming along, despite worries about the trade war and, you know, China was the big thing. But then, you know, this Mexico trade war kind of popped up briefly, but in about 2 days that was taken care of. And, you know, then there's Brexit going on over in Europe. And so, you know, there's all these things going on. There's issues with Iran, you know, potentially brewing. And so, you know, there's certainly some geopolitical concerns that causing some angst. But yeah, all in all, the economy's humming along. It's not, you know, maybe what we'd like it to be. Some of the numbers coming out lately have been a little bit weaker than what they had been. But same time, hey, we're still growing. And, you know, the unemployment rate is still really low. And there's actually more job openings than there are people looking for jobs. And so it's a good thing, too. So there's opportunity out there. You know, so it's for those that are qualified, you know, there are certainly opportunities.
Now, Darren, explain a little bit more the whole trade thing with China and Mexico, so we can better understand what that is all about.
Yeah, a lot of it really goes back into history a little bit. So, you know, not too long ago, talk specifically about China, and, you know, the same principles really apply. China was a third world country, and I mean, they've really developed rapidly over the last 20 years. And so, you know, prior to back in the beginning, you know, that there were, you know, trade agreements that were put in place. You know, China was allowed to tariff U.S. goods going to China. It's really a way to help China develop, kind of to unlevel the playing field a little bit, kind of to give them a little bit of a head start when it comes to, you know, their economy developing. But a lot's changed in 20 years. And so now we have, you know, we have this setup that was designed to kind of help get them started. Well, now they've become a superpower, but it's not a level playing field. And so they have tariffs on our goods going over to there. You know, we didn't have tariffs. And so it gave their manufacturers an unfair advantage when it came to our manufacturers. And that's part of the reason why you saw so many companies moving manufacturing from the United States to China, because it made more economic sense to do that. You can see some of the evidence of that. If you order something from Amazon or eBay, a lot of times there's Chinese sellers. They can actually ship it via U.S. Postal Service cheaper from China than we can from the U.S. Kind of, it's an archaic, you know, postal rule that was put in place that gives, I mean, I think they can ship it for like $1.50. I mean, some ridiculously low rate where it would be like $5 for us to ship it here. So what Trump is trying to do is to level the playing field a little bit. And of course, they don't want to do that. They like having this head start versus our manufacturers. And previous administrations, nobody's been willing to really put their foot down. And, you know, I don't debate that maybe his style and his antics are childish and immature at times, probably unprofessional and unpresidential. But the reality is, I mean, what he's trying to do needs to be done. There's not a level playing field. And Mexico's situation is a little bit different. I mean, naturally, they're still developing. They're not as far along in their process. But the issue with Mexico really came down to immigration and the fact that they were basically not enforcing borders on their end. They were basically allowing people to just walk right through their country to come to our country. And it's really creating significant problems. When you really look at the numbers of people that were coming to the border trying to get in illegally, it's astounding. I mean, it's gone up many multiples over the last several years. And so I don't remember. I think the numbers are something like 4,000 or 5,000 people a day in some of these spots that were trying to come through the border. And it's just overwhelming. So it was really kind of putting Mexico's feet to the fire to enforce their own rules and even just cooperate when it comes to managing the migrant situation.
We're talking with Darren Munn from Munn Wealth Management. So that's how the trade things are affecting us. In terms of wages, I've noticed that in reports that people's wages are going up. We're actually seeing the wealth gap kind of narrow a little bit. So that has to be some positive things.
Wages are definitely rising. That's an encouraging thing to see. And been a lot of talk about this, you know, income inequality thing. And I think that, one, I think it's an unbiblical perspective, you know, because it's really, we should all be content with what we have. And what it's a conversation that's rooted in discontent. But it's also comparing people to the elite. It would be like comparing me to LeBron James on the basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yes, he is an elite basketball player. His skills are far beyond mine. And that's really what we're seeing is we're seeing this comparison of the average person to the elite. And yes, there are a certain very small percentage of people that have some very large amounts of wealth, let's put it, or very high amounts of income. But it's not really a fair and accurate comparison. And so, you know, it's really an issue that's been created for political purposes. But it's an unhealthy conversation to have because it's showing a lack of content. The reality is we have more opportunity today in America than we have ever had. Like I just mentioned, you know, for the first time just within the last year, we've had this scenario where we have more job openings than we do people looking for work. That's never happened in our economy before. And so it's, you know the opportunities are astounding for people to move on. I mean, education is readily available. You know, I'll say college education, you know, even for those, you know, we have a system that, you know, 20 years ago, if you couldn't afford it, you just couldn't afford it. But now, you know, there's systems in place that for people that can't afford it, there's lots of aid available. And so it's, you know, the opportunities for people to advance themselves are tremendous. But instead of looking at the opportunities, we get, you know, bogged down into this really unhealthy argument of, well, hey, LeBron James is way better at the bat. He can shoot three-pointers way better than I can. That's just not fair. So let's knock him down a couple notches, you know, so I can, you know, do better on the basketball court. And it's just not a healthy argument, nor is it an appropriate argument to be having in most cases.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, not necessarily a biblical way of looking at things. And one of the things we ask you to do every month when you join us is to give us some biblical perspective about our finances and about wealth and about managing our money. So what do you have for us this week?
Absolutely. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 19 says, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed." Here we have God speaking to those who are well off, you know, those who have achieved maybe a little bit more in life, whether it's financially or you know, other resources, to use those things for good works. Now, the reality is when we look at Americans, we are rich by global standards. Even the people that would, you know, that are kind of at the lower end of the income scale here have a very high standard of living compared to what people do globally. So the reality is if you're in America, you're pretty much rich by global standards. And if you think even compared to 100 years ago, look at the Rockefeller, you know, 100 years ago, they didn't have indoor plumbing. They didn't have vehicles they could drive. They didn't have cell phones. I mean, you know, they didn't have computers. We have so much more today, our, you know, average person than the elite of the wealthy did 100 years ago. So our standard of living continues to rise dramatically. And, you know, this really gets back to what we were talking about, you know, this unhealthy theme of discontent. We are so blessed. And when I look at 1 Timothy, it calls us to use what we have, to use these blessings, to be rich in good works and to be generous and ready to share. And what I find is when people are complaining and when we're comparing ourselves to others and being uncontent with what we have, probably means we're not being generous. You know, we get this attitude of wrapping our arms around it like this is mine and I'm going to keep everything I can. And I often see that. In fact, the statistics bear it out where it's really a relatively small percentage of people that are really actually giving. I mean, you know, a substantial amount of the giving is being given by a very small number of people. And so I guess I just want to, you know, put out a challenge. You know, examine yourself. Are you being generous with what you have? The reality is we're all blessed. If you're listening to this radio station, you're blessed. And are we focused on what we don't have? Are we thankful for what we do have? And are we being generous? Maybe we don't have extra money, you know, sitting around on our budget. Man, maybe we could take a couple hours a month even to serve. Maybe it's just helping our church weed some of the landscaping around the church. Maybe it's, you know, helping them plant flowers or maybe it's helping out in the nursery. I mean, what are the ways that we can use the gifts, the talents, the abilities that God's given us to give back, to be generous, and really to focus on the blessings we have and not what we don't have?
That's a good word for us, Darren. Thanks. Appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Darren Mond from Mond Wealth Management. And
question from a listener.
Oh, we do. Okay.
She asks, my fiance and I moved in together in April. After bills are paid, we sit around $1,200 a month after bills are paid. Should we have more for a rainy day fund? Also, we're 23 and 24. Should we be worrying about retirement yet?
I would definitely accumulate a few months worth of cash when it, you know, for a rainy day fund. You know, let's say, you know, 3 to 6 months, you know, and that depends a little bit on, you know, how stable your jobs are. But at the very least, hey, in your situation, save up, you know, $10,000, you know, that's available in the case of emergency. And absolutely, I wouldn't worry about retirement, but I would plan for retirement. So there's really nothing to worry about to start at this stage is phenomenal, and it make the retirement planning process a much easier situation. If you, it sounds like you're both employed, you know, I would you know, definitely look at, you know, is there a 401k plan available through the employer, especially if it has a match. If there's a match, that's free money. Take advantage of it. You know, if they match, you know, 3% or 5% of what you of your income, you know, that would be the first thing I would do, is take full advantage of that free money that your employer is putting in. The sooner you start that, the better. If you're already doing that, I would look to things like Roth IRAs or IRAs, depending on where you fall on the income spectrum. And the sooner you start that, the sooner you get that money working for you, the better off it is. I would also, you know, take a moment to step back and say, okay, what lifestyle do we really desire to have? And where's a good point? Because a lot of times we don't ever really sit down and think about that. And it's always, we need a little bit more, and we need a little bit more, and we need a little bit more. And what I see is people that really get caught in this trap of always trying to raise their lifestyle. You know, it's more toys, more this, more that, bigger house, bigger cars. And I would look at what's a good ending point and find a point where, you know, hey, we want to increase our standard of giving. You know, if God's blessed you, it sounds like you have some extra income, I'd look at, you know, just really pray and ask God, how does he want you to use that? It's, you know, I believe it's all God's anyway. And really, you know, seek God's leading as far as, you know, what is he calling you to do with that? Because for some people, it's, you know, being more generous and giving it away. For other people, you know, God calls us to do other things. And so it's, you know, there's not a right or a wrong necessarily. You know, different people, God has called to do different things, but I'd really seek him and ask what, you know, what he wants to do. But you know, it sounds like you're in a great position to really get ahead when it comes to the planning process. And whether it's for retirement or even just getting to a point of financial freedom, I think that's something that God wants us to do, to be at a point where we are financially free. We're not beholden to necessarily having a job or things of that nature. And God can use that if we're in a position where we have enough saved and you know, we're financially free, then, you know, God can do things with people in that situation that he may, you know, that other people may not be able to do. So great situation to be in.
Darren, thank you so much. We always appreciate your visits with us every
absolutely month. It's my pleasure.